Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. You're here. It's time for more of your listener questions, including some great questions about how to get the best princess experience for some girls during this time where, you know, princess meet and greets are not as plentiful as they have been in the past. We have some ideas. Also, questions about Genie Plus and about 7 a.m. on your Disney vacations moving forward. What about those days where you have an Epcot theme park reservation? You want to get in the Ratatouille virtual queue. You also want to make Genie Plus selections at 7 a.m. And what about if you want to make individual attraction Lightning Lane pass purchases as well? What are you doing at 7 a.m.? We come up with some thoughts and strategies on that as well. And Mike gives a hack for the perfect time to have a breakfast at a resort near a theme park. This and more coming your way on today's show. Don't forget, today's show always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out and let us help you plan your next Disney vacation. It really does help support the show, and it gives you great tips and a partner in your planning when it comes time for your next Disney vacation. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. It really does help us out. Please click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you so very much to our patrons for allowing us to continue to do this show. We could not do this without you. And our patrons get a bonus show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. For more information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1983 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you are having a great week here in the fall. Man, the weather has really churned for the better here in the Midwest. Got a little chill in the morning, sunny, crisp afternoons, and you really can't ask for better than that. Football season, of course, postseason for baseball. You got hockey started, basketball starting. It is a great time for fall festivals and all that stuff. And Run Disney coming back at you here in less than 3 weeks. And I have an announcement, strange announcement, but I just want to give you a heads up in case you missed your email if you're running Wine and Dine in just a second. But first, let's get the OG crew announced. This is like going back to like 2012 or something. We're all three here. It's awesome. So joining us from themouseforless.com, we have Cruella DeVille. No, we have Ricky from down at, she was at Walt Disney World this past weekend, all dressed up for the party. Check it out on Instagram. Ricky, what's going on?
I had such a good time, but it is good to be back and with my family here, with all of us here. It's so exciting.
I know. So, it's like it's like reunion week.
Exactly. It totally is like reunion. So, yay. It's good to be here, though. It's good to be here.
So, does that drive ever get any shorter from Walt Disney World back to North Georgia each time you come back?
You know, and I've done it now three times. Well, it's technically six times because drive there and drive back. So, I've done it six times within the course of a month. that was a little much. But it doesn't get shorter, but you have, like, different milestones that you hit. So, you know, okay, when I hit this milestone, I have only this far to go. And when I hit this milestone, I have this far to go. So, like, the towns are definitely my markers of, okay, I just need to go this far, and then I can be in this city. And then I hit this far, and then I can be in this city, and I just make my way that way. So, and I have lots of music is basically what I do. I just sing at the top of my lungs is the whole time, pretty much, which makes Brian happy.
Between Orlando and Atlanta, I would definitely count down the Zaxby's. Okay, I'm like 12 Zaxby's from home. I'm 7 Zaxby's from home. You know, that'd be a good gauge, right?
I mean, there's lots of Zaxby's on. I'm sorry.
Well, there's lots of them, Mike. Though. I mean, get a little...
I'm sorry. I don't like Zaxby's.
Snackers?
Nibblers. I can count the Fazoli's. There's only two. There's only two Fazoli's.
So. Okay, so the question I have to ask you, apparently this is your show, your mom's in the live chat, you're born in 83, so this is your show.
Born in 1983. This is my show.
Sick. I know. Yeah, whatever.
I know. Right.
Flexing. Okay, so I'm going to ask you and Pam both. Okay, 1983, the 80s or my decade. You got to pick one arcade game, your favorite arcade game, not video game from like at home, but like you go to the arcade, like stand up, you know, in the cabinet. What's your go-to arcade game?
Okay, for me?
Yeah, what do you play?
Okay, does this count?
I don't know.
I know, that's why I'm asking the question. I like pinball.
Pinball's good. Pinball. It's not really a video game. I guess it could be an arcade. They're an arcade.
Yeah, so that's kind of like my like arcade game. There was when I was a kid at my parents' friend's house, they had this awesome pinball machine, and I cannot think of what it is now. But it was mine and my brother's like favorite pinball machine. We loved to play this one. I remember there was like it was like a robot or something that was involved in. If I would ask him, he would know 100% what this game was. But it was just the most fun pinball machine ever, and we would love to play that every time we went over to their house. So pinball is definitely my game. Now, when I'm at Walt Disney World, they have a Guardians of the Galaxy pinball machine that I crush. So I do like the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, that's not 80s. Okay,
I know. Well, I'm sorry. I'm that's talking, not 80s.
I was looking
I got
for something like Centipede or Pac-Man, which people
I understand that. Okay, if I'm going to go with that, then I'm going to go with like Donkey Kong.
That's a good answer. See, that's what I was looking at. 5 minutes later, we got a solid 1983 answer. There you go. That's something that could be housed at Pop Century.
Pinball is my like, if I'm going to an arcade, that's what I'm playing. I'm playing pinball.
So. Okay. And I like pinball. Haunted House was my favorite pinball from the skating rink back in the day. But hey, we're not here to talk about retro video games. We're here to talk about Disney. And joining us, it's been a bit. It's been a minute, as the kids say. We have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Welcome back, Pam. Glad to have you.
It's been a minute. It has been a minute. I fit a lot of stuff in that minute, let me just say. I feel like there's lots of stuff going on in the minute. So I'm so glad to be back with my podcast family. Thankfully, I got to see y'all during that time. So it wasn't as if we were, you know, never seeing each other. But yes, I'm back.
Okay, so before I forget, what's your go-to arcade game, if you have to pick one, like what's the one that you school everybody else in, or your favorite?
Okay, so there's two, of course, because I'm Pam Forrester and I always pick two when I'm supposed to pick one. And absolutely Pac-Man, loved that, right? And the other one was Tron.
Oh, love Tron,
because there were so many different games, right?
Games.
And you had to be good at more than one. And some of them were a lot more challenging than others. So, yeah, I liked both of those.
Very good. Okay, so before we get to today's listener, that's a great choice. I have my little... So, back in a couple of years ago, they came out with those arcade one-up machines that are at Walmart. You know, and I got one for Father's Day a couple of years ago during the... Right when the pandemic started, this was last year, like in June of 2020, when, like, you couldn't leave the house. This is what I got for our anniversary and Father's Day. I got one of those arcade one-up Pac-Man machines that also has Galaga. And has a bunch of different Pac-Mans. So it's right there behind me. And yes, solid. But Pac-Man's my game, though. That's it. So
Good choice. Come
to the studio. We'll play some Pac-Man sometime. No quarters needed. All right. So real quick. Apparently, we're having a Good Bones Day or a Bones Day. I found out. I've been watching social media. Didn't know what that
Bones
meant. But
Day.
Bones Day. Every dog stands on TikTok. I don't know what it's about. Apparently, somebody explained it to me. Today, Disney Cruise Line. We're booking cruises for folks in spring of 2023. And I'll tell you what, just you want a little inside baseball of travel agent life. You know, you always hear about your teacher life. Well, I'm on all these memes because my wife gets all the teacher videos and they're funny, right? Because I used to be a teacher for 17 years. I crack up at them. There's this guy named Jerry Brookson that does all these videos. He's hilarious. But, you know, behind the scenes of a travel agent, like, okay, when Silver Day rolls around, when it's time to book cruises for folks that are silver with Disney Cruise Line, that's one of those days that just like, it's a little stressful, right? Because there's a lot of people that are silver, but you also have to go through a few more hoops because it's not general public, because you have to prove the Silver Cruise membership to kind of get that booked early. Not a problem, but it just takes a little bit longer and, you know, there's the phone lines get jammed up and stuff like that. Today, no problem. Like, they had a lot of cast members working. Everything was like... Yeah, everybody was happy. So I guess today is a Bones Day, apparently.
It is a Bones Day. I don't know. Yes, 100%.
So there you go. Okay, real quick before we get to the first question of the day, I wanted to remind everybody running the Wine and Dine Race Weekend, because I got this email about 1 hour ago. Just have a heads up, because I don't know what this is about. This is kind of weird. But again, we're getting our groove back, right, with the running thing. This is the first race back in a little while, and I think maybe somebody missed something, and I got this all caps email. It says, important Disney, Wine and Dine Half Marathon participant information, all caps in the heading. And it says, you'll be receiving your post-race party ticket in the mail at the mailing address you provided in your My Disney Experience account. Now, this is in all bold. I did receive in the mail in a plain white envelope via USPS to gain entry into the post-race party. You can also add your ticket to your My Disney Experience account and use the card or magic band associated with that account for entry. Mailing started on October 15th, so you can expect to receive your ticket shortly thereafter. And if you do not receive your ticket prior to arriving at Walt Disney World, on-site ticket solutions will be available at the arena box office during the expo. So that's kind of interesting that it's just the plain white envelope thing cracks me up. I mean, what's like, I know that there's supply chain issues, but I mean, like, I guess they ran out of letterhead during the, I don't know. So just heads up and everybody's going there, and then you can click on the digital guide. So I'm just excited. We'll be back to running here very shortly. So
it's crazy. It's crazy to think of.
It is. All right, so we have some questions, and this one comes from Karen. She says, hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, says, how to get the Prince experience with no Akershus, Artist Point, 1900 Park Fair, etc. What is the best way for four little girls to have the big-time princess experience at Walt Disney World right now? I know Cinderella is at least waving to guests at the Castle restaurant right now, and it sounds like Fairy Tale Hall is coming back. Would love any other suggestions from you and the team. Thanks. Karen, not a Karen, in College Station. She says, P.S., how about the Aggies Bama game? Okay, Karen, you've been blocked. Okay, you're out. Okay, Ricky, thoughts? Got to get the princess experience. Things are moving in the right direction. And the tide is rolling, Karen, towards more princess meetings. See what I'm doing there? There you go.
Yeah.
Ricky, okay, what do we got?
This is tough because there's not a lot of places to see the princesses. So right now I know you can see Anna and Elsa in Norway. And you can also see, I've come across Aurora in France. She's actually more towards the side. She used to be back in the back, kind of where you would walk to and toward Ratatouille, but now she's on the main pathway, so you won't miss her. As far as other princess experiences, yeah, the character meals, I don't really have anything in that regard except for Cinderella's Royal Table, where you only see Cinderella. I guess the princesses are coming back to Princess Fairytale Hall, so that'll be nice. But it's going to be a different experience, so they're not going to get to hug the, you know, princesses and things like that. You'll see them from a little bit of a distance. But that is still something really cool that it's good that it's coming back. Now, no date has officially been announced yet, but I'm hearing sometime in November for that. So, I really think that is just Akershus is not back, which is surprising, although it is a buffet, so maybe not that surprising. I can't think of any other. I was at Hollywood Studios and there was nothing there really at Princessy, so it's about all I know of. Right now.
So I did Crystal Palace on October 1st, and it's a buffet, and there was no issues with it being a buffet. Like, you know, you just grab your mask, go up there, grab your food, sit back down. I mean, the buffets can come back, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But right, I mean, once you have princess meet and greets and you have up close, you know, it's a whole different kind of flow of things as opposed to how they're doing it, like at Topolino's Terror, Chef Mickey, stuff like that. I mean, it can definitely be done. Pam, what are your thoughts on this, though? Karen's kind of looking for other ways to meet princesses, at least the best she can during this situation right now.
So the princesses are definitely in the character cavalcades that go through. There's one that is specific to princesses. There isn't like a time, there isn't a published time for that so that you can see what's going to be, you know, who's going to be coming through next, but talk to the cast members. I'm sure they can help you out with that. They also are at the train station at different times too. Again, not really something you can plan in advance, designed to be more of a sort of surprise and delight moment that you sort of happen upon. But toward the evening when people are walking out or in the morning, sometimes are good times to look in those spaces. It's challenging, but it's also to me surprising how, as adults, I will say, our ability to sort of transition to this different way of greeting the characters, I think we made it more complicated than kids did.
Probably.
I swear from like day one, kids were like, I can't go say hi to them. All right.
Okay,
I can
cool.
wait from here.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
See,
and they do it. And yeah. It was just, it's kind of interesting to see that. I mean, of course, we'd all like to hug them and give them our book and thing like that. But so many things have changed. Kids sort of roll with these punches a little more. I think another thing you can always do is, you know, buy some special princess merchandise, right? I mean, who doesn't want a really cool tiara? Or, you know, a princess something, and there's no shortage a princess somethings at Disney World. So hopefully with those kind of things, you'll get your princess fix in.
Yeah, and I think we had a call Sunday night when we did the live call-in show with Scott. And we had this question about, you know, we were trying to narrow down. They were kind of frustrated because they're going in early November. Not really frustrated, but they're just, they're trying to figure out when these socially distant meet and greets will return, because Disney says they are coming, but they have not published a specific date as to when. And it's, right. You know, they're, and they have a 4-year-old child who's going to Walt Disney World for the first time. Very excited, obviously, at 4 years old about meeting characters. And, you know, we had the discussion that with a 4-year-old, it is kind of a challenge, though, for somebody who's never been in a theme park environment. If they see Mickey Mouse, like, they're going to have the tempt. And I know they're, I don't know what they're going to do. To, you know, if a kid runs up and tries to hug it, you know, I mean, a 4-year-old.
I'm
right? I mean,
sure they will
take
be.
Take him out. I mean, I, yeah, probably
I'm
not.
Sure there will be a way to block.
Like a barrier,
you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like, yeah, there
big
will definitely
thing
be a
shoots
barrier.
Up out of the ground. Iron spikes. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, you've invaded the, you know, 24-inch rule or something. I don't know. But the thing is, like, I think because, you know, we're explaining because this, you know, this caller that called in, we're having this discussion that I, you know, I think we're a lot of us are really adjusting to the selfie, the flyby selfie. Right. Because he wasn't under the understanding of how many characters you can still meet. Like, you know, I was talking about how you can meet like Buzz Lightyear's my favorite character. And I meet him every trip over in Tomorrowland. He happens to be out on that stage all the time. And I just fly by. He points at me. I do a selfie and I'm gone. You know, and it's like, I don't have to wait 30 minutes. I'm just like,
right.
2 minutes.
I'm good. Let's
go. The picture. It's on Instagram. We're out of here. It's great for me. It is kind of, you know, especially for a kid who's trying to meet a character, especially like a Mickey Mouse, something they see on TV that they feel like they have that relationship with the character. I mean, it's going to be challenging, but I mean, it is where we are right now. But it is where we are.
Yes.
But it's better than nothing. And it'll be interesting to see how these things roll out because in the timing, we had this debate on the timing. You know, I hope it is. Again, this is me probably being optimistic. I'd like to see it happen around the time of the Wine and Dine race weekend because a lot of runners like to go to Town Square and get their pictures with Mickey with their medals in a socially distant situation would be fine for that. Right. To go to Town Square, hold your medal. Mickey's over your shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a lot of pictures there. I mean, I don't see that there's a lot of prep to get this done. I mean, you know, the everything's
right.
there. I mean, and they've been doing socially distant meet and greets for a while. I mean, now they're just going to do them inside. I don't think it's something that would take like a month to put into place. It doesn't seem like
No, that. And I think it'll probably, if I had to guess just based off of, you know, past, I would say it would be early November as well. Again, that's just a guess, but I would lean more towards that because, you know, that just sounds like it makes sense in my eyes.
And in time for the Christmas party, too, like the holiday season.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So
absolutely.
That would be like, you know, that'd be like the first, second week of November. So we're really kind of in that, I'm guessing that first, second week of November.
Yeah.
See, Mitch has a question here in the live chat. Hey, gang, I've got our week-long Polynesian trip coming up in 41 days. Aloha to you, Mitch. That's awesome. So far, I haven't had much luck getting ADRs that were in our list. I see join walk-up list at some restaurants in my Disney experience. Have any of you used this feature? We're hoping to still be able to go to some of our favorite restaurants on this trip, like Ohana and Sci-Fi Dine-In or 50s Primetime. Hopefully you guys have some ADR tips. Pam, what say you to getting in these hot... I have not been able to get Sci-Fi for nothing. I tried this summer. I've tried. I just cannot crack that nut on Sci-Fi for some reason.
I know. It's interesting, too, because some of the restaurants that are challenging to get right now are sometimes surprising. Haven't been that way in the past. But so there is a join walk-up list. And if you're going to try to do that, my best suggestion is to be there as soon as the restaurant opens for that meal. Because that's when you'll have the opportunity to join the walk-up list if that will actually be available that day. There are restaurants that sort of stagger when they open for different meals. So let's say, you know, lunch closes at 3 and dinner starts at 4:30 or 5. You're going to want to be there a little bit before. Not only try to join the walk-up list using that function, but also ask the cast members that are there at the podium. Sometimes there may be a little different availability in that space, just because the cast member standing right there at the podium knows right then what is going on, as opposed to having it to be, you know, tell the system that they're able to take walk-ups. And to even use the join walk-up list, you have to be in within a certain vicinity
yes.
of that restaurant. So don't think it works like some other functions in My Disney Experience, and that you can do it from, you know, when you're at Coronado and you're trying to do that at Hollywood Studios. It won't work for you.
Which can be a little frustrating when you want to join a walk-up and it says, oh, it's 50 minutes away. And you're like, I know I can get there in 50 minutes. I'm just not like right there.
Yeah.
Especially at a resort or something like that. That's when I've run into the issue. It's like, oh, I just want to join the walk-up. And then by the time... That was me. I was at Pop Century and I was trying to get to walk up at Ale & Compass, but I was too far away even from there. And so like you have to be like right on it for that walk up to even exist. So just keep that in mind too. And
you do.
It does work.
I've seen people do it and it does work. I mean, that's kind of like it's almost like your backup parachute. Like if you don't get it, you got a second shot. It's like a second chance lottery kind of thing.
Definitely not, like you said, during the peak times, though. Like, want to go off peak, you know, early meal or the later meal, you know, like, you know, a 9 o'clock dinner or something like that. You might be able to score it, but otherwise, it's not going to be that, you know, 6-7 o'clock meal. You're not going to find it.
Mm-mm.
Now, I will say with Mitch staying at the Polynesian, if he wants to get in Ohana, go up to that hostess stand and let them know you're staying there right as the restaurant opens. And I would say that they could, you know, maybe work something if you just, you know, you're polite, you're a guest here, you love this restaurant, it's your favorite thing, it'll make or break a trip. I mean, just, you know how it works. Like, it might not work, but I mean, it never hurts. Tell them you're staying there. That's just a good tip. Okay, Jessica's got a question here for the BOGP crew. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, I'm sure that you will have tons of questions about Genie Plus and Lightning Lanes, so I hope you don't mind another one. I'm curious how things will work at 7 a.m. for on-site guests. It seems like there are a few things that happen at once. You can get virtual queue, you can grab an individual Lightning Lane pass, and you can book your first Genie Plus ride. Is that correct? I look forward to you guys being in the parks and testing out these new systems for us so that by the time my trip comes around in April, thanks for helping me plan, Mike, we will know exactly what to do. Your loyal listener in Springfield, Virginia, Jessica. Yes, we'll be down there soon again to test these out. I'll be down in less than 3 weeks. And I will be, I told Scott, I'm all against these individual Lightning Lane things. I am chief. But I told him, I'm going to buy one just so I can practice it. Just so I know what it feels like. It'll probably be Rise. Because I'm cheap and I'm going to get my money's worth. So
yes.
I'm doing it for everybody here. It's kind of against me because I'm super cheap. I'd wait forever to not spend $15 or whatever it costs. But I am going to do it so I can have the experience. Then I'll be screenshotting everything just so we can talk about it on the show. So there you go. It's going to be against, it's like me buying like an expensive souvenir, like a lightsaber or something. I want to, but I really, it's against me. But anyway, you know, but it's right. I mean, so Ricky, have you been writing articles on this? So walk her through the 7 a.m. It sounds pretty intense. And again,
yes.
this will have started yesterday by the time the show comes out, day before.
Right. Yeah. So at 7 a.m., if you are staying on property, you have the ability to make a Remy reservation.
If you have theme park reservation. If you have an Epcot.
If you have an Epcot theme park reservation, yes. That also is the time for everyone else, too. So not only those staying on property. I just wanted to, but, you know, if you are staying on property, you can do it, too. If you're staying on property, you can do the 7 a.m. Lightning Lane, or it's not Lightning Lane, individual attraction access attraction. I don't know why it's the name, by the way. They gave everything else a specific name, but they didn't give that option a specific name. Boggles my mind, but that's okay. And then you can make your first Disney Genie Plus attraction reservation. Now, if you are not staying on property, you cannot make a Lightning... Nope. You cannot make an individual attraction access pass or a reservation for Disney Genie Plus until you get into the park. So just keep that in mind. So they are giving a little bit of a head start to those who are staying on property. And I would, as far as strategy goes, I mean, that is tough because, you know, if you want to make sure that you see if you can get that Remy one and... You know, you can't get that, but then you want to try for the Lightning Lane. That is tough. So I might try. Oh, gosh. Would you guys try for the Remy
It's me. I would
first?
Try. So, okay. So I'm assuming like your Epcot day, right? Because the day you have Epcot. This is like the day that it's going to be the most intense, right? You have an Epcot theme park reservation and you want to ride Remy. I would go for the Remy virtual queue first.
That's what I was thinking. Yes.
If it's super important to you, then I would buy the individual ride access second, immediately, if, depending on what my status is with the virtual queue. Or you could ride it out and try to get the 1 o'clock one too. That's an option too, depending on how you want to roll.
Right.
You just have a lot of options. And then, you know, go for Genie Plus from there, you know, as far as what you
want
to do.
That's what I would do. Now, Disney has said that they won't sell out of Genie Plus.
Nope.
So if you want to buy it all day, you can have the option to buy it all day. So now, again, if you're staying, I would always choose the individual attraction first. Then I would choose the Genie Plus options. That's going to be kind of what I would end up doing as far as making reservations go. That's just me.
It works. I mean, Pam, what are your thoughts on kind of this whole thing? That, because the thing is, I mean, it sounds like, and I mean, this is kind of how blogs are going to get written if you want to get a lot of clicks, is that you will no longer be sleeping in on a Disney World vacation.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, this is it. Like, you know, everybody's got the 7 a.m. wake up call or the 6:45 wake up call at this point, which I get up early anyway, so it doesn't bother me too much. But it doesn't necessarily have to be every day. I mean, select days possibly. I mean, just give us a little thoughts on this whole thing.
Well, I think, first of all, for most guests, you're going to want to add Disney Genie Plus to your package for all your days that you have tickets. I think that one is sort of a no-brainer, and I'll sort of explain why. Regardless of when you get up, it doesn't matter, because it's like that whole thing, it's turning over every time, right? So the people who got up at 7 a.m. and made their reservations because they're staying on site, at 9 a.m. they have to go through the whole process again. Well, maybe you got up at 8 and you made yours then, or you're also doing it at 9. So you're in there with all those people. Don't think of it as the people who got up at 7 a.m. are all going to get all the Genie Plus selections for the whole day. That's just not how it's going to work.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be, the FastPass system worked before. This is going to work this way. It sort of has a way of evening itself out, but it's just going to give you access to, I mean, literally for me, $15 to save, let's just say at minimum, how much time do you think you're going to save a day waiting in line? 2 hours?
I'd say, yeah. I would hope that conservatively 2 hours. I'd say
that's what I'm saying.
Three.
Conservatively on a not busy day, I think even a not busy day, you're just going to save 2 hours. It's totally worth the $15 for me to do that.
So $7.50 an hour. I mean, is your time worth on a Disney vacation with what you're paying per day? Is it worth $7.50 an hour if you break it down? Yes.
At minimum.
At minimum. I totally agree. At minimum. You're saving 2 hours at minimum. And this is no official Disney anything, especially because it has not been released. This is just us pontificating, right? As frequent theme park visitors. The individual lightning lane is something that I may have on some days and I won't have on other days. And for me, that depends on a couple things. First of all, the park. Most of those attractions that are part of the individual lightning lane selections are going to be attractions that have a height requirement and or have the ability to cause some kind of motion sickness with some people. So that plays into it a little bit for me. It also plays into what I want to get accomplished that day. I will tell you, looking at that huge line or the huge list of attractions that are available with Genie Plus, if I go into a theme park that day and I get a lot of those attractions done, I'm going to feel like that was a day well spent at Disney, and I may not miss having to ride some of the things in the individual Lightning Lane attractions. Like, I don't have to do Seven Dwarfs anytime. There were times before that I didn't, and there will be times in the future where I don't. And it still was a really, really good day for me. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's going to depend on for me in that space. Genie Plus for me is sort of a no-brainer. It's just going to happen. And I think that's the case with so many guests. We've heard that from them already. They're interested in it. They want it. They want to add it to their package to know that they arrived there and they don't have to think about it every morning, right? Do I want to spend the money or do I not? They just want to add to their package, show up and be done. And I totally agree with that.
And the nice part is you don't have to add it every single day either. So if you want to,
Well, if you want to add it in advance, you do.
Yes. If you want. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. If you want to add it in advance, yes, you do.
Yeah.
But if you are on the fly and you hadn't added it in advance and you're just like, hey, you know what? I think I'd like to add Disney Genie Plus today. You can do that, which is really a nice perk as well.
I promise you, though, I'm not doing the individual pass thing for Space Mountain, because every time I ride that thing just by standby, I'm always like, why do I ride this thing? Like, it kills me. It's my, it's still my favorite ride at Walt Disney World. I haven't let that go yet.
But if I
even pay extra to have that kind of pain, there's something wrong with my brain, because I'm already going in that
park.
You
love it, but it does not love
me. It does not love me. I know, man. I get on that thing and like, I'm going up the hill. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I'm, oh, because like you crest that hill on Space Mountain. I'm just like, oh, I'm going to be in pain for the next 2:30. Hold on. And I kind of have fun, but I kind of don't. So I'm just like, I'm choking up right here just thinking about it. It hurts my back.
Oh my gosh.
So we'll have more. We'll be talking about this for months. But yeah, we'll be down there very soon. All of us getting, you know, but I think we have a pretty good idea. And of course, you know, I speak with guests daily that are down there right now. You know, our guests are constantly there getting feedback. We're talking about things. We'll have, you know, next week we'll be talking about how things are working out. So don't stray. We'll get you set up for great success.
It will be okay.
It will be. Yes.
It's just, the thing is, you're listening to a Disney podcast. You probably follow Disney Twitter. You're 95% ahead of the game already.
Like, absolutely. Seriously,
you're way ahead of everybody else. I mean, you're right.
Very much.
Everybody else is driving like a Volkswagen Beetle down the highway. You're in the Millennium Falcon already. Like,
That's correct.
It's not even a fair race. Okay.
The only thing you have to do is not let the negative stuff impact you. Like, compartmentalize. Like, figure out how it's going to work for you.
Yes. And there are, like Mike said, there are so many people who will not know what Disney Genie Plus is or individual attraction access is until they even get in the park. And even then, they may not still understand what it is. So, you know, you're definitely ahead of the game. So
100%. Even when...
And they may still buy it at that point.
Right.
Yes.
100%. Even when there was FastPass and you had to engage with My Disney Experience to set up your FastPass ahead of time, I would sit in meetings with Disney and be blown away at the percentages they were telling us of people who did not engage with My Disney Experience prior to their arrival.
Yeah.
And if they didn't engage, means they weren't making FastPass.
Okay, FastPasses.
So
yeah.
It's crazy, people. So, yeah.
Yeah. And
you got this. We got this, people.
And like we said, you know, Disney Genie Plus is going to work a little bit like FastPass. Those times are still going to roll over. You know, you remember the FastPass game I played before where I would, you know, go down the app and be like, okay, I can make a FastPass now. And I would make it for whatever next attraction it was.
Yep, 2 hours later.
Not even, right now, I would do that. The same thing is going to be true.
The next available time sometimes will be right now.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So you can play the Disney Genie Plus game and, you know, it'll work just like, so you're not going to be like shut out of getting FastPasses or I guess I should say, you know, Disney Genie Plus passes. You're still going to be able to get them even, you know, throughout the day.
I just remember back in the day, like, setting the alarm on my Nokia phone because I get that paper fast pass.
Yes.
And it would say either when you redeem this one or, like, at 10:17 because I got the first one, like, 8:17 or something or, like, 7:17. I forgot what the window was. But, like, I would type that in my phone, and as soon as, like, that window opened up, do-do-do-do-do, it would go do-do-do-do-do, and I'd be like, going to get the next one. I even like get a 5-minute head start.
Let's go!
It's crazy. Yeah, yeah, back to those days. But you don't have to do the running this time. So,
no,
so you
don't
have to give it. Okay. Diane's asking real quick. So what does that mean for pre done by running by 7? Again, we just kind of talked about that. You're not in competition. Like, you're not going to be behind. Just when you finish the race, make that first one and you're good to go. You don't have to worry.
Do it during the race.
No. Enjoy the race. No, don't do it during the race. No. You're paying too much for those races. Don't be worrying about that stuff.
Diane.
Seriously. Come on. Enjoy. Yeah, no. Don't. If people start pulling out their phones at 7 a.m., I'm going to swipe those out of your hand. Don't do that. Enjoy the moment. You've trained all this time. Don't be doing that. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. That has hurt me.
I did say it.
Lee's got a question.
I meant it.
Oh my gosh. Was considering doing Chef Mickey's for breakfast on my Epcot day. Eat breakfast and take the monorail to Epcot. Good idea, bad idea? I say good idea.
Yeah, yes. You just have to have a late breakfast because Epcot doesn't open until 11.
10, I think.
I think it's pushing earlier now.
I think it's 10.
Yeah.
So make sure that you're going to do that. But other than that, I think it's a great day.
You know what, though? Here's my hack. I came up with this like 5 years ago. For Chef Mickey's, I do it on a Magic Kingdom day. Now, here's why. I'll schedule it for like 10:30. Okay, so follow me here. This is high value. You go to the Magic Kingdom like at 8 when it opens, but you got to have like a Pop-Tart or something light in your room, okay, for everybody. So everybody gets like a Pop-Tart or Rice Krispie treat. You take that, eat that on the bus, just enough to get you through. Like, you do like 2 hours of the Magic Kingdom. You get so much done in those first 2 hours at Rope Drop. Then you go over to Chef Mickey's and have a late breakfast, and you just like tear it up because you're already, because like it's still breakfast. It's almost like a brunch at this point. You're starving because you've been going for 2 hours. Forget lunch, man. You're not even eating again until dinner, and you're getting your money's worth. I'm just saying. That's kind of a hack there.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I mean, I'm impressed by that. Yeah.
We just did that one time because we couldn't get an ADR except for like at 10:30. And it was like, oh my gosh, we're doing this all the time now. So that's what we did. Okay. Ben Harris has a thought here. My view on Lightning Pass is I will for sure do it when we go. My wife won't ride a lot of rides. So for example, we go to Animal Kingdom. Let's see. My wife won't go on Flight of Passage. My daughter is too small, so I can pay $15 to skip the queue or queue up for 2 to 3 hours on my own away from my family. I know what I'll be doing. That's a great point right there. That, I mean, if the rest of his family is not going to go, do you want to stay away from your family for 2 hours to ride flight? Or are you just going to $15, boom, you're in, you're out, and you're riding your ride. That's a great use right there. And you only got to pay for one.
Agreed.
That is. So, yeah. Good job, Ben.
Diane's killing me. Diane. She's going to be on her phone doing this.
She's going to be on her phone. No. You're going to have to smack it out of her.
I'm going to find you on that course. I know. Don't. Stop. Stop. This hurting me.
Okay. Diane, I'd be doing it too. I'd be on my phone too.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a couple minutes.
Okay. Yeah, don't trip though, please. Don't worry about getting hurt. Okay. See here. We got a question from Bill from Maryland. Hey, Mike and crew. My family and I are headed down to Walt Disney World Sunday with 2 first-timers. One is a big Star Wars fan, so I have him covered with Hollywood Studios. The other, not so much. I know he likes boats, so I was wondering what is the best way to get from Shades of Green to Disney Springs by boat. We have a reservation at Splitsville Monday night. None of us have ever been there before. Is this a good option for picky eaters? I really enjoy listening to your show. You guys do a great job with all the information, and it's really helped planning this trip. Bill in Maryland. I think we might have answered this question, but I can't remember. It sounds familiar, but maybe it came in twice.
I don't remember it. So.
Maybe not. Maybe because we have a revolving cast of characters except for me, so it could have been, but
this
it could
is
not
true.
Have been.
This
okay,
is
so
true.
Anyway, get different
you
answers.
You might have just read the email. Who knows? Yeah.
So that's a good idea. You got Star Wars fan, Studios, perfect, Galaxy's Studios, Edge, yes. Everything there. Get a round to a wrap. They're awesome. But Shades of Green to Disney Springs by boat.
Yeah.
There's no direct way. I mean, but I mean, if you want to get a little boat taste of the boat, like this person, I guess is they like to be on boats.
There's not really a great way to do this. Just honestly, there isn't. Uh-huh. Because Shades of Green has its own transportation system.
Yes.
That does not include the boats.
Right.
Here's what I would do. What if you just take the bus to Disney Springs?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
And then you take a boat from Disney Springs, like over to Port Orleans, just down to Riverside or something.
That's
get
what
a
I
dessert.
Do that, ride
that's
it there
That's what
and
I was
back.
Thinking.
Yeah.
Those are
that's
kind of
exactly
the best
what
boats.
I was thinking.
That's what I would do.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted to be, you know, a big spender, you could do one of the Amphicars, which is kind of cool, too.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
That is a good suggestion.
Remember back when this show started and Ricky was cheap? She's like, she's really turned the corner.
Yeah, you know what? My fiscally responsible husband.
Yeah.
Remember when
happened.
I used to call him that?
Right.
I don't know. He actually convinced me. He convinced me to buy the 50th anniversary dress. So I bought the dress. I'm just saying, I spent the money and bought the dress this weekend because he's like, you know, you can get the dress now.
Oh, you
like,
mean the one that's got like, because I think I got the shirt. I got the like bowler shirt. Like it's got, it's kind of like purpley blue.
Purple blue.
Oh, look at that.
Gold.
We'll be matching. Yeah, look at that.
We can match. Like that'll look like a couple.
Yeah,
not.
We will.
Yeah.
Look like we're straight out
Please
of the
50s. Please don't wear your shirt on the same day that I'm there.
Oh,
just
I'm so that. Doing it. Yes.
Yes.
I brought it home. I showed my wife. I was like, you like this shirt? She said, no.
No.
She said, don't wear that shirt. She did not like it. I know. She was not a fan.
Brian loves it. Brian loves it.
She did not want me to wear that shirt for some reason. So I haven't worn it yet. But I figured, because I told her, I'm like, this is a great cruise shirt. Like, it's a button up. It's got collar.
Yes.
It's like thin. I mean, it looks kind of dressy. I'm wearing that on a cruise. Whatever.
You definitely should wear that on the cruise.
Oh, yeah. It's a cruise shirt for sure. I mean, whatever.
So my fiscally responsible husband convinced me to do that. I'm just saying.
She didn't see it on me. You know, like
that's
when
right.
it gets on me.
That's the difference.
All right, last question.
That's the white skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what? Those things totally disappeared. They're gone. And I One guess what happened to those skinny jeans. She threw those things out. She took them to Goodwill. I have not seen those since that cruise.
You have to buy another pair.
I know, because I just go back to my orders on Amazon. I'll find some.
Yeah, exactly. Our next cruise, yes, exactly. You'll have to have them.
All right, last question coming over from Portsmouth, UK. It's from Mark. Good morning, Mike. Just listened to your 50th anniversary podcast. Loved it. Thank you. The ride I would bring back would be Horizons. I loved Epcot. Mm-hmm. Remember that ride very well. Still watch the walkthrough on YouTube. Will they ever, do you think, bring back that style of ride? With all the new IPs, I'm not so sure. And all the other questions for the three of you would be your favorite item you've ever bought at Walt Disney World. For example, teas, mugs, etc. Mine is an Epcot 82 number plate. It's not the most expensive, but I love it. I really want to bring that monorail set back to the UK, but put that sucker under the Christmas tree. Take care, y'all. Enjoy the 50th without us poor old UK guests. Regards, Mark over in the UK. Hey, good news. Our friends from the UK, you guys are going to be joining us here soon. And our folks in Canada and Mexico and all over the place. We're so glad to have you back. Because I'll be honest, Walt Disney World to me is a guest. It's about our friends from all over the States. But it just isn't the same without that just feel of everybody coming together from all over the world. So it'll be so glad to have our friends back from all over the world. That news is great. So let's keep these things going in the right direction. So real quick, Pam, could Disney ever bring something back like Horizons? Or are we just too easily like distracted and can't take anything that's slow anymore? I mean, is our society like too TikTok anymore? I mean, is that what's up now?
I think that, I will be honest, during Horizon's last days before they announced the closure, and the World of Motion too was sort of in that same vein. There were a few things. They were not that heavily attended, I will say. Not too many people there. It was, I remember doing some of those, one of the first times I took Steve, and it was like me and Steve on the attraction. Like, it was just so... not, and I think he was like, why are we riding this one? But anyways, I'm sure at this point he's glad that he had the chance.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think that, you know, so many of us remember those with a nostalgic vein. We think about that and remember it being there. I wonder, though, if it was better in our memory than it was in person, right? We have a way of sort of romanticizing all of that. So I don't know, you know, the pendulum sways back and forth, but I think that Walt Disney was so focused on always moving forward that it's very infrequent that Disney chooses to go back like that, just because it's just not part of their company. It's not really what they're doing. But hopefully they'll find ways to sort of combine that to make attractions that people that have that nostalgic, you know, that wish for that enjoy, and new folks do as well. Because if I think about some of the newer attractions that have been brought on board, I really like it. I mean, I think that Remy is really cute.
It is.
It's something that the whole family can enjoy together. That's something that even if it is a movie that is a Disney movie, I think that that's something that probably so many of us can enjoy together. And I think that's what I'm really looking for in an attraction. Something that I can enjoy with family, with friends, and sort of span those ages. So
Grandma could ride in the back seat and not,
exactly,
and not have to be flipped upside down. And I'm getting to that age, so I appreciate that as well. Okay, real quick. So we've gone into the Disney Vault, right? I mean, they've really kind of done some cool stuff with the vault. The thermoses, the lunchboxes, the old ashtrays. I mean...
What are you talking about, Mike? Not an ashtray.
It is an ashtray. But
it is
whatever.
An ashtray because I have the original.
Like, plates and stuff like that. What is one thing in your collection, though, from over the years that you have that you like, that you've kept? Like, for me, probably my most cherished, like, over the past, you know, time that I've been going to Walt Disney World, it's not something I bought, but it's my Mickey ears that I got for my first marathon when they first started giving those out in 2018. It wasn't my first marathon, that was 2015, but they surprised us at the finish line in 2018 with those. I think they were leftover ears from the Disneyland 50th or something. They're the 60th. I think that those blue ones with the silver ears, but they're awesome. And we didn't get ears before that. I got more excited for the ears than the metal. So that's my probably most prized possession as far as souvenir wise. So I know you're not a big collector, Pam, but is there something over the years that's special to you as far as, you know, something you kept?
There is. So I have a signed print from Disneyland, too. One of them is something from Club 33 that I purchased there. It's wall country and looking down on the that area right there, New Orleans Square. I really just like that idea that Walt, you know, enjoyed the parks and did look at them and see them at different things. So I love that idea. And I have another sign print that was from Jane Wooster Scott, which is actually of Disneyland as well. It sort of shows Disneyland, but in a way that unless you're really looking at it, you don't notice that it is Disneyland. Nice. It's just in that style, that sort of, you know, that primitive style of painting. And I've had it reframed a few times to like continue to match our decor, but I love those pieces. They're just, you know, part of our house, and I'll never have a house that doesn't have both of them. So
there you go. And you have a little decorating to do here shortly around Thanksgiving. All right, Ricky, what about you? Like, what's something that you treasure from your history with the parks?
You know, it's tough because I bring home different things for different reasons.
Is it the flying tire behind you? Could it be that?
I do love the flying tire. I did not get that at Disneyland, though. No. I got that at the outlets.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, I mean, that makes sense, right? Honestly, I do love my dresses. Those are definitely one of the things that I love. I get a coffee mug from every single Disney theme park or resort that I've visited, meaning like, when I went to Aulani, I have an Aulani mug. I have, you know, the Paris mug. I have Walt Disney World mugs, Disney Cruise Line ones. When I go to Disneyland here in a couple of weeks, I'll grab a Disneyland one because I don't have one of those. So those are like things that come home with me every time. You know, behind me, I have a bunch of things that are really cool because they're from the places that I've been. So I have like the London Mickey that's behind me. That's actually from the London store. Then there's the New York Minnie. She's from actually the New York store. So like, and there's, you know, there's stuff from Aulani. So like, I like those kind of things just to remind me that I've been to those places, and that I got to have those experiences. So, those are kind of like my favorite things. I always try to grab one little souvenir type thing from each location that I visit, as well as grab a mug, because I use my coffee mugs every single day. So.
There you go. Yeah. And I always have my smuggled pine cone from Pop Century and Hurricane Charlie that I snuck home.
Oh, still that's sitting true.
On the shelf over there. It's a big
that's
sucker.
That's true.
It's still yeah. good shape.
So, that's awesome. I know. That's, like, that's really good. Now, one of the things that I do have that I do treasure is I do have a light bulb from the Osborne Family Spectacle.
I have one of those on a Christmas ornament.
Yeah. I won one of those at an Indie Disney meet. A couple, you know, one of the first years that we ended up going. So I have that, and I think that that's really cool.
I miss the Osborne lights. They're so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Right now, real quick, would you trade Galaxy's Edge for Osborne lights? Pam, no deal. Ricky,
no deal.
Deal or no deal?
Oh gosh, that is tough.
We
got to
end the show, but I just decided to
it's tough for me because I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan.
It's
so
okay.
Like,
yeah, there's no wrong answer here.
There's a wrong answer.
There's a wrong answer. I know.
I love this. I love Christmas lights, though. I do love.
I know.
Star Wars.
I do too. Rise of the Resistance is a really
it's Rise amazing. Is very okay. Can we move Rise to another park
I know,
and then move
that? I know. Right.
Like, can we move that like to a different part of the park? Put it somewhere else and then put the lights back up.
Oh man. Oh, I miss those lights so much because I have so many pictures of like podcast meetups in those lights that pop up like starting this time of year, like on my Google photos.
Yeah, I know.
Photos.
Me too.
I mean, the lights were fantastic and I love them as well, but I'm not giving up.
Yeah,
Galaxy's
probably not
Edge
either. Yeah, probably not. No deal. Oh, that kills
no
me.
No deal.
It's like, yeah.
I say deal, but you know me. Yeah. I don't have like a Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Back when that show used to be on ice, he yelled at those people like, "You're so greedy. I hope you lose." You have $100,000. You know how hard you have to work for $100,000. They're handing you $100,000. You're saying no deal. I hope you get nothing. That's exactly what you say. Anyway,
wow.
We got to. I know. I'm mean. We got to get this show closed up because we're going to be back together tomorrow with a replay of the Sunday Night Live show with Scott, and then Friday we're going to be back together talking about all the fun stuff that Pam did on her trip that she's just back from, and Ricky did the Boo Bash this past weekend, and some other stuff. So we'll be talking about that as well. But don't forget, in the meantime, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel, as always. I mentioned this at the top of the show. 2023 itineraries for the early season are out right now. So if you'd like to sail with Disney Cruise Line, it's a great time to get back out there. Well, I mean, it's early 2023, so it's still a little bit out there. I mean, you're not going to be getting back out there immediately. But hey, you can. If you want to book for next month, we can do that too. But right now is a great time to book those early 2023 itineraries. Lots of staterooms available, best prices. And the best part about it is when you book with the Magic for Less, you can get a great onboard credit that spends just like cash on your sailing. You know, buy some drinks for the bar, you know, go on in a port adventure, you know, buy some, you know, rent that, that paddle board, Castaway Key for everybody. I'm telling you, it's hard, but it's fun. Whatever you want to do with it, it's yours to have some fun with. But drop by the Magic for Less Travel, fill out that quote form, you know, fill out some dates, itineraries you might want to go on. Of course, Walt Disney World, Disneyland Adventures by Disney as well. And we'll take great care of you. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link as you start shopping for the holiday season. The one extra click really does mean a lot to us. It's over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons who allow us to keep putting this show out 3 to 4 times a week all around the world. Couldn't do it without you. And our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you want to become a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter at beourguestmike. And at BR Guest Pod. And of course, Ricky's at Ricky Nibs. Pam's at TMFLT Pam. Subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube as well, so you know when we go live. And one extra thing this week, if where you get the show, where you subscribe to the show has ratings and reviews, we'd sure appreciate it if you would leave a 5-star review, because we've been doing the show for over 13 years. Sometimes those ratings and reviews expire like old milk when we've been around as long as us. We're not the new and the, you know, the new and the hottest thing out there lately, because we've been doing this forever. So if you haven't left a review in the last decade, you know, a star rating, we'd sure appreciate that. So if you have a few minutes this week, please do that if you have the time. We'd sure be appreciative. All right, we'll be back again on Friday with another fresh Be Our Guest podcast right here for your feed. But until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.